Christ your own. Put on the gospel armor, each piece put on with prayer. Where duty calls or danger, be never wanting there. Stand up for Jesus, the strife will not be long. This day the noise of battle, the next the victor's song. To him that overcometh, a crown of life shall be. He with the King of glory shall reign eternally.
Amen. Remain standing, please. Take your Bibles. Turn to Psalm 12. Psalm 12 in your Bibles. Psalm 12. Aren't you glad you're saved?
Amen.
Tell you what. Glory to God, brother. Thank God for the day that someone gave me a gospel tract and showed me from the King James Bible how to be saved and go to heaven.
Amen.
Psalm 12. Psalm 12. I know usually we read in unison. This morning, I just want you to follow along silently as I read out loud. Psalm 12, I'm going to read the whole chapter. Help, Lord, for the godly man ceaseth, for the faithful fail from among the children of men. They speak vanity, every one with his neighbor, with flattering lips, and with a double heart do they speak. The Lord shall cut off all flattering lips and the tongue that speaketh proud things, who have said, with our tongue will we prevail. Our lips are our own. Who is Lord over us? For the oppression of the poor, for the sighing of the needy, now will I arise, saith the Lord. I will set him in safety from him that puffeth at him. The words of the Lord are pure words, as silver tried in a furnace of earth, purified seven times. Thou shalt keep them, O Lord, thou shalt preserve them from this generation forever. The wicked walk on every side, when the vilest men are exalted. I want you to look at verse number 1, please. Help, Lord, for the godly man ceaseth, for the faithful fail from among the children of men. Let's pray. Dear God, we are in desperate need, dear God, of men today. Lord, I know it's Father's Day today, 2013. But dear God, our nation is crumbling because we have a lack of men. Oh, Lord, we have many males, we have many pretty boys and metrosexuals and sodomites, but Lord, our land is in desperate need of godly men. Please, dear God, meet with us, change our hearts, change our minds, change our lives. Dear God, I pray if there's anybody in this room that's not saved, I pray they'll trust you this morning as their Savior. I pray, dear God, if anybody has been saved but never been baptized by immersion in a Baptist church, I pray, Lord, that it'll obey your commission, your command to be baptized this morning. Now, dear Holy Spirit of God, have your way in the service. Please bless this sermon. Meet with us in a very special way, dear God. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. Thank you. May be seated. Well, it's time for God's people to cry out for help because the godly man ceaseth. The faithful fail from among the children of men. They speak vanity, every one with his neighbor, with flattering lips and with double heart do they speak. I'll remind you that the Bible says the Lord shall cut off all flattering lips and the tongue that speaketh proud things. And these prideful, proud people say, with our tongue will we prevail. Our lips are our own. Who is Lord over us? For the oppression of the poor, for the sighing of the needy, now will I arise, saith the Lord. I will set him in safety from him that puffeth at him. The words of the Lord are pure words, as silver tried in a furnace of earth, purified seven times. Thou shalt keep them, O Lord, thou shalt preserve them from this generation forever. Those are the words of God. Now the NIV blasphemes that and perverts that and says that God's going to preserve people. Well, God says that in Psalm 37, not in Psalm 12. In Psalm 12, it says that God's going to preserve his words forever. The godly man ceaseth. You and I are living in that day and age in America today where the godly man and the faithful have failed and ceased. Where have all the men gone? Just because you're a male does not mean that you're a man. Our society today is filled with metrosexuals, queers, sodomites, pretty boys, childish, foolish. The Bible word is foolish. You call goofy, it's foolish. Comedian-like, lazy males. Men today are made out to be stupid and ignorant. Most of the commercials and most of what's on television make out men to be nothing but cute queers and limp-wrists, emasculated males who are the product of the hatred that Hollywood has towards God, the King James Bible, and the old-fashioned Baptist church. They mock and ridicule anyone who is decent and loves Jesus Christ. And you watch that garbage by the hour, and that's why so many males in this country are turning into the cowards and lazy bums that they are. I'm going to give you 3 points this morning about being a godly man. You ladies, obviously this is not for you, but you listen, teach your boys something, amen. Or if you're single, marry a man, amen. Not some jerk that you're going to regret 5, 10, 20 years from now. Matthew chapter number 18, verses 1 through 6. At the same time came the disciples unto Jesus, saying, who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? And Jesus called a little child unto him and set him in the midst of them, and said, verily I say unto you, except ye be converted and become as little children, ye shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven. Whosoever therefore shall humble himself as this little child, the same is greatest in the kingdom of heaven. Well, God says if you want to be a man, you want to be something, then God says we have to lower ourselves and humble ourselves. And in order to be converted, we become like little children in God's eyes, ladies and gentlemen. And whoso shall receive one such little child in my name receiveth me. But whoso shall offend one of these little ones which believe in me, it were better for him that a millstone were hanged about his neck and that he were drowned in the depth of the sea. Humility means being kind and courteous and gracious and forgiving. Just because you're acting in the service of God does not mean that God's using you. Just because you play the religious part does not mean that you're humble. Just because you carry a black book that says Holy Bible on it, and just because you darken the church doors, does not mean that you're humble. Humility means being kind and courteous and gracious and forgiving and merciful and patient and loving and compassionate. James says to confess your faults one to another. God says to be tender-hearted. If you want to be a man of God, you have to humble yourself and be a servant to all, the Bible says, and be subject one to another, the Bible says. Unless you do that first step, God is not going to use you. I don't care what your title is. I don't care what your position is. God is not going to, you're not going to be a godly man or a faithful man unless you humble yourself as a little child, the Bible says, ladies and gentlemen. I'll remind you that Proverbs says, only by pride cometh contention. Anytime there's contention anywhere in the home, in the church house, in a marriage, in a family, it's because of one reason. It's called pride. That's because people don't want to humble themselves as a little child. Number two, be sober-minded. Titus chapter number 2, verse number 6, the Bible says, young men likewise exhort to be sober-minded. That means to grow up and stop being immature and foolish. Your word is goofy. The Bible word is foolish. 1 Peter 1:13 says, grow up the loins of your mind. Be sober. 1 Peter 4:7 says, "The end of all things is at hand. Be therefore sober and watch unto prayer." 1 Peter 5, verse number 8, the Bible says, "Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour." The reason why people fail, the reason why people cease to live for God and to do right, is because they're not sober-minded, and the devil just come around and just devours you and just leaves you for dead, and you're not going to do anything for God. You may think you're going to do something for God, but you don't do anything for God unless you humble yourself first and then sober up and grow up and mature a little bit. Romans 12:3 says, "For I say through the grace given unto me to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God has dealt to every man the measure of faith." Sober up, grow up, mature, learn good habits, especially while you're young. Grasp the truths of eternal life as soon as you can. Learn as many truths and godly principles as you can at an early age. While you're in school, learn as much as you can of that which is right. If you go to a government school, hope to God and pray you can be homeschooled one day. And make sure you read your King James Bible every day so you'll know when the government teacher is lying to you. That's about 90% of the time, probably. You ought to study, do your homework, and do well in your tests and your exams. Once you're finished with high school, you ought to try to go to college if you can. I understand college isn't for everyone, but it is to those who want to learn more and do more with their lives and with the knowledge that they have attained in their early years. I agree that education minus salvation equals damnation, and for the most part, it's a waste of time and waste of money. Going to college so you can get a piece of paper is wasting your time and giving your money to most educators who hate Jesus and hate the King James Bible. But there are enough good schools left where you can learn and meet someone who's decent, who will love God, who you may be able to marry one day and win souls for the rest of your life. You ought to sober up and get involved in an old-fashioned church that believes every word of the 1611 authorized King James Bible is inspired by God Almighty. Do not waste your time with foolish religious leaders who refuse to study and find out what is the Word of God and where are the words of God. I appreciate those of you who have been faithful to this church. Some of you have been coming for over 20 years. That says a lot about your character. Everyone has struggles and trials in their lives. Everyone experiences heartaches and disappointments. But sober-minded people do not get drunk on booze and liquor to get away from their problems in their minds, only temporarily just to face it again with much less money. Same thing goes for drugs. I don't care if they're legal or illegal. Sober-minded people think clearly and soberly and are willing to face the harsh reality of life and deal with it in accordance to what God says. I appreciate those who go soul winning and realize the importance of winning souls to Jesus Christ. You will never do any physical activity more important than winning people to Jesus Christ. Not door knocking, soul winning. I appreciate those who are concerned about doctrine and care about what this church believes and teaches concerning the King James Bible and the truths found therein. I appreciate those who try to live a godly life and try to be the right kind of examples to many of these children that have come in on the bus ministry or through the bus ministry. Most of these children have no idea what it means to have a godly father or a godly mother who will love them and pray over their meals. Most of these children have no idea what it means to work hard, dress right, think clearly, and love Jesus Christ more than anything else in life. Most of these children do not know what true love and true compassion really is apart from this church, ladies and gentlemen. I appreciate your influence and the help that many of you have been in volunteering for things around this building and repairing and fixing things that need attention. Sometimes when you hear adults fuss and quibble over the most stupidest things, you wonder to yourself, wow, I thought he or she was more mature than that. I hear some adults talk and they sound like a bunch of immature brats who live in the gutter of selfishness and immaturity. I say get out of the gutter of gossip and self-worth and empowering yourself, and instead love your neighbor and be a blessing to someone else and be a help to someone else and forget your selfish wants and your selfish desires. I dare say that 90 to 95% of people talk about other people because they're too immature to talk about the important things of life. That's all people talk about is about other people, and they gossip, they criticize. If you want to criticize somebody, how about criticizing religious leaders who are two-faced and hypocritical and teach heresy? They're the ones that you ought to be criticizing openly and publicly. But the lack of men in our country, the lack of spines in men, shut our mouths because we're afraid to say anything about our alma mater or our college or Dr. So-and-so or Professor Big Bottom because they might get mad at us. If some religious leader is teaching heresy and they've authored books or articles defending their heresy and they've not apologized for their heresy, then that's a good time to preach against them, ladies and gentlemen. But spineless people don't take a stand against popular people. But they nitpick and criticize others who are trying to do right, who do believe the authorized version of 1611 is the inspired word of God. Most people talk about events that happen. Maybe 75%. I don't know. Whether they be national or international news. Very few people talk about historical events that have shaped mankind's history and turned the tide of many a nation and kingdom. Even fewer are those who espouse sober truths. And even fewer are those who sacrifice their time and their lives to implement those truths and to share God's truths with lost souls of mankind who are on their way to an eternity in hell without Jesus Christ as their Savior. I say you get busy about talking to lost people about Jesus Christ, ladies and gentlemen. I said, number one, be humble. I said, number two, be sober-minded. In Acts 26, the Bible states, as Paul was talking to King Agrippa, as he thus spake for himself, Festus said with a loud voice, Paul, thou art beside thyself, and much learning doth make thee mad. I'm sorry, there's no N there. Much learning doth make thee mad. But he said, I am not mad, most noble Festus, but speak forth the words of truth and soberness. I know people say, well, you're too loud. You like your rock and roll music loud, don't you? Sometimes church can be too long. Yeah, but you like your 3.5-hour movie of the Titanic, don't you? And you watch that a second time and a third time. And you watch your other movies in Star Wars 3, 4, 5, 10 times. You watch reruns all the time. But God forbid the preacher's just too long for you, huh? God forbid the preacher goes over old ground again and again and again. There's something wrong with your Christianity. Most boys and men are taught to be foolish today by their government schools, by Hollywood on their televisions, and their videos, and their movies. They're taught to be the class clown, joking all the time, and jesting, and being a jokester, and being the funny man. Today, if you're not a Jay Leno or David Letterman or some other vulgar comedian, then you're considered too boring, too gruff, too quiet, too reserved, too severe, too harsh, too strict, too old-fashioned. You get that from actors who are acting to get paid to lie, smooth-talking politicians and religious leaders who hate God and the King James Bible. They're more interested in money and taking advantage of people by lying to the people and teaching people untruths. Number three, 1 Timothy. Actually, 2 Thessalonians, chapter number 3. I said, number one, be humble. Number two, grow up and be mature, sober up. You need a cold shower in life. You need some responsibility. I'll tell you what, I got a wake-up call. I remember when I finished court reporting school, and I started getting a paycheck. I'll never forget the day my mom told me, all right, now you got to start paying the bills, start helping to pay the bills. I said, what? Excuse me? She said, yeah, we have bills to pay, food to buy, stuff like that, and you have to give, I forget what it was then, I think $150, $200 a month then. It's like, I was about to have a heart attack. I was 21 years old, 20 years old. I was having a heart attack. I said, Mom, I thought you loved me. What? Yeah. Some of you have no idea what responsibility is. You waste money. You spend your money. on soda pop and brand name sneakers and clothes because someone else is paying your bills. The government is paying your bills. Daddy and mommy paying your bills. That's why you're unappreciative of what you have. Number three, work. 3 points in this sermon this morning. Be humble, grow up, and work. Happy Father's Day 2013, amen. Fa-la-la-la-la-la-la-la. You have to read the Greek to know that part. The original Greek. 1 Timothy 5:8 says, but if any provide not for his own, we're going to get to 2 Thessalonians, hold on. 1 Timothy 5:8 says, but if any provide not for his own, and especially for those of his own house, he hath denied the faith and is worse than an infidel. That's quite strong language for God to use, that if you can't provide for your own, you know what God says? Go get a job. I said, God says, go get a job and work. 2 Thessalonians chapter number 3, the Bible says, verse number 8 and 10, neither did we eat any man's bread for naught, but wrought with labor and travail night and day, that we might not be chargeable to any man. Not because we have not power, but to make ourselves an ensample unto you to follow us. Verse 10. For even when we were with you, this we commanded you, that if any would not work, neither should he eat. If he doesn't work, you shouldn't eat. Now, it doesn't say if you can't work. I understand there's people who are crippled. I understand people are handicapped. And we ought to take care of people. We ought to help people. I'm not saying that. I'm not as cold hard as you think I may be. Amen. I think we ought to support the weak. I think we ought to provide for our own. Amen. But God says if you can work, and you choose not to work, then you have no business eating at all. There was a demonstration one time downtown Troy by the courthouse years ago. I remember now, 7, 8, 10 years ago. They had a demonstration about, I forget, they were going to cut welfare or food stamps or a heat thing. I don't know what it was. I can't remember right now. And they had all these religious, I don't know if there was religious leaders there, but it was also socialist, left-wing people who hate God, hate the Bible. And they were chanting outside the courthouse, you know, restore our cuts and restore our money and we need this money, blah, blah, blah. And there's a group of about, I don't know, 40, 50, 60, 70 people. I don't remember right now. And they had a guy with a megaphone. Of course, they can have a megaphone, but you get one preacher on the street corner, they'll arrest you. They want you to shut up, you know. So I walked up to that person who had the megaphone, and I was in my shirt and tie, had a coat pocket on. I had my New Testament inside my, I had my sword inside my pocket. I said, I'm a minister. May I speak something? He said, yeah, a minister at our rally here? Sure, you can say anything you want. He gave me that microphone. He gave me the megaphone. Yeah. Over my New Testament, 2 Thessalonians chapter number 3, verse number 10. I'm sorry, is that chapter 2? 3, verse number 10. And I read out loud on that megaphone, I said, for even when we were with you, this we commanded you, that if any would not work, neither should he eat. And I gave the megaphone back, and I walked away. You can have fun, ladies and gentlemen, if you're willing. Hey, if you're willing to be a man and stand up and not shut up. Today, this land is filled with spineless wimps who are too proud. Themselves. They're foolish and they don't want to work. Amen. Praise be to God that my children never knew what it meant to live on food stamps and welfare. Thank God for the day when we went shopping down in South Philly when I was about 5 or 6 years old. And that fellow in front of us was paying with funny money, paper money that was funny in different colors. I didn't know what it was. And my mom in Greek just tore us up one side and down the other side. He got in his Cadillac outside, parked out front. And loaded up that Cadillac and off he went. And my mom, I remember from that day on to hate food stamps with all my heart, ladies and gentlemen. Most men are too stinking lazy to get a job. They don't want to work. They don't want to be told what to do. And the hard-working, Working men of society are being forced to pay for their laziness while they watch their movies and they watch their videos at home and they play their video games and spend all day online and they smoke their cancer sticks and drink their booze. And then you wonder what's wrong with our society. Then you wonder what's wrong with our country. And they vote for somebody who's spineless. Men are too stinking lazy to get a job, and then instead of getting a second job to provide for their family, if they have to, they send their wife out to make money while they enjoy their sports and their pleasures and their vacations. I remind you, ladies and gentlemen, I don't care what a college says, I don't care what a pastor says, Titus chapter number 2, verse number 5 says the wife's supposed to be discreet, chaste, keepers at home. Keepers at home. But you love your money. And you send your wife out to make some money. Get yourself a second job. Get yourself a third job. Unless she's helping in a ministry somewhere and reaching people and teaching people about Jesus Christ, she should be home taking care of the children and teaching them godly principles. Micah 2:9 says, the women of my people have you cast out from their pleasant houses, from their children have you taken away my glory forever. But your pastor, not your pastor, but pastors all across this country, this will be good, they want you to go and get a job so they have more money in the coffers, so they can keep their parsonage, and they can keep their salary, and they can keep their benefits. And they're being taught that in independent fundamental Baptist colleges today. You know why? Because the colleges are filled with spineless wits. Happy Father's Day. Amen. And you have religious leaders encouraging their people to have their wives go out of work and make money so the church's coffers can be filled, because the pastor wants his salary and his parsonage and his benefits for being the pastor, instead of God blessing the family. So you stick them in a daycare center that most times today is being funded and encouraged by the government. Hey, I wonder if some queer sodomite wanted to molest boys, I wonder where he'd go today. I wonder where a sodomite would go. Maybe a daycare center would be a good place, don't you think? Or maybe the Boy Scouts would be a good place now, don't you think? Huh? But you know, send them up to day camp somewhere. Send them up to summer camp somewhere where they don't preach the word of God. And then you're going to be shocked when somebody molests them. Well, it was your job to train them. It was your job to teach them. But you loved your money more than anything else. You loved your career more than anything else. You loved your title and your position more than you loved God and the Bible. You understand why this is not popular today? I remind you, 100 years ago, I don't care if you went to a Methodist church, a Presbyterian church, I don't care if you went to a Baptist church, this is the kind of preaching you got 100 years ago in every single pulpit in America. Well, maybe 120, 130 years ago. But today, you have spine. How can a man go to a church where a woman is a pastor? No wonder he's spineless. No wonder he can't take a stand. And you listen to that garbage on the radio and television. It's a good way to lose your children to the devil. It's a good way to lose your children to the world, ladies and gentlemen. If you think this is too hard to swallow, if I were you, I wouldn't show up tonight. Stay home, watch a stupid video. Waste your time online somewhere. Or go to some compromising church. Oh, I forgot. Compromising church don't have church on Sunday night. They're too deep. They get all their religion on 45 minutes on Sunday morning because they're so deep. They have nothing to talk about Sunday night, do they? Yeah, I forgot about that. What was I thinking? But make sure you go. Make sure your wife goes out of work to pay your bills, that God says you're an infidel if you don't provide for your own funeral. Because you're too stinking lazy to provide for your family, you're worse than an infidel. My Bible says the wife is the weaker vessel. Our society today hates God. And as a result, they hate men. God is a man of war, the Bible says. Our society hates things that are associated with fighting, battles, and war. That's why I love hockey, amen. I want a blood sport, amen. I love boxing, amen. I like kickboxing, amen. I love rugby, amen. I was running late this morning. Last guy, you're not going to believe this. I was doing some stuff unexpected. I got blood on my sermon this morning, man. Didn't even plan it that way. But the society today hates guns. They're outlawing toy guns in schools. Toy gun buyback program. Can you imagine that boys in first, second, third, and fourth grade are being suspended from school for using their hands and fingers as a gun? For drawing a gun, for having a gun on a t-shirt. They're being suspended. Because the society is against men and hates men and calls them and thinks that they're stupid. I got news for you. God's paying attention. The rise in the acceptance of the sodomites in our society is a direct correlation of our hatred for all things God. What was once considered abominable just 30 years ago is taught and accepted as preferable today. Pulpits today are filled with spineless wimps who cannot go against the evil tide of compromise. They are afraid to speak against their alma mater. They're afraid to speak against the Pope. They're afraid to tell their congregation the truth and the whole counsel of the Word of God because they're afraid they may lose some people, that the offerings would go down. And as a result, they would suffer for the sake of Jesus Christ and have to part ways with their parsonage and their salary and their benefits and all the beautiful trappings that come with a compromising pastor who pastors a compromising church of worldly and spineless maybe believers. The spineless pastors of today would rather willingly lie to their people and use the NIV that had an openly and avowed sodomite on its editorial board that took out all the references in hell to hell in the New Testament and took out the word sodomites from its perversion. They don't mind using perversion that states that Elhanan killed Goliath instead of David in 2 Samuel 21:19 because they're too spineless to study. Judges 18, verse number 7, the Bible says, there was no magistrate in the land that might put them to shame in anything. Let me repeat that. Judges 18, 7 says, there was no magistrate in the land that might put them to shame in anything. That's why people get mad at preachers who stand for what's right and preach what's right. Preaching against sin bothers sinners. Preaching against compromise bothers compromisers. Preaching against adultery bothers adulterers. Preaching against murder bothers the abortion crowd. Preaching against showing your flesh and nakedness bothers the ungodly and worldly lust-seeking crowd. Preaching against laziness and idleness bothers those who are lazy. Preaching against stealing bothers thieves. Preaching against covetousness bothers the rich and covetous. Preaching against bearing false witness bothers liars. I'll remind you that John the Baptist had his head cut off because he went to 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue and preached against all the sins of King Herod. Daniel was put in the lion's den because he defied the king's commandment not to pray. Jeremiah was put in the dungeon because he was the only one who preached against his own nation. The three Hebrew boys were thrown into the fiery furnace because they would not bow their knees to rock and roll, disco, metal, country music, western, jazz, country music, soft rock, heavy metal, country music, rhythm and blues, rap. Rap is spelled with a silent C, by the way. Country music and so-called contemporary Christian music, which is, there is no such thing as contemporary Christian music. That's a falsehood. Micaiah was the only preacher that Ahab hated, and he was put in prison because he refused to compromise his preaching about the sins and evils of the king, the country, and society. Stephen was stoned to death as the first martyr of the New Testament church. The Apostle Paul was beheaded by Nero for being a man with having a backbone. I remind you that Jesus Christ was crucified for being truth. Preaching against selfishness and laziness bothers those who do not sacrifice for the cause of Christ and the preaching of the gospel. Preaching against tithing, not going soul winning, not helping the poor bothers those who are self-conceited and selfish and lazy. You love your money more than you care about the salvation of souls and the bus ministry and missionaries that we're supposed to support. Today we have henpecked men run by a bunch of bossy wives who are both run by a bunch of spoiled, rotten brats who need to be whipped like our forefathers whipped us into shape. Men today are more afraid of DSS and Child Protective Services you are of Jesus Christ, that you're going to stand before one day and give an account. David was on his deathbed about to see Jesus. And he told his son Solomon, who was about to take over the throne from David. And he said in 1 Kings chapter number 2, verse number 2, I go the way of all the earth. Be thou strong, therefore, and show thyself a man. He said, show thyself a man. I suggest you males start acting like men instead of wimps. I suggest you get a spine replacement, have surgery done, and put a spine in there, amen, and stand up for what's right. Happy Father's Day. Let's pray. Let's all stand. Dear Heavenly Father, the godly man ceaseth, the faithful fail. We're living in a day and age where so-called men don't care about their wives or their children. They couldn't care less about you or the Word of God. They play church, they play religion, they drink their booze and their beer and their wine and their liquor. They love their sports, they love their fishing and their hunting. They love their pleasures. And our society is going down the drain. We have deserted our responsibilities and our duties. And no wonder, we have so many women who are the head of the household today because of men have abdicated their responsibility and deserted their homes. No wonder we have so many women who have to get a job now to support their family, a single parent, because a jerk they married left them and deserted them with nothing. No wonder we have politicians today, women, could hardly find a man today who would stand up for what's right and not compromise. And not apologize for standing for what's right. Very rare do we see any men with backbone today. Oh, dear God. Lord, you said in Psalm 12 that you're looking down. Oh, dear God, we need you this morning. Our homes need you. Our churches need you. And for sure, our nation needs you. Oh, dear God, please be a merciful God. I pray, dear God, if there's anybody in this room that's not saved, I pray, dear God, may they humble themselves this morning and trust you to be their Savior. I pray, as Jesus said in the Gospel of Matthew, that they will humble themselves as a little child and come to you and surrender and say, dear God, I'm a sinner deserving to go to hell, but I don't want to go to hell. Please forgive me my sin and save my soul from hell. I pray that there would be people in this room, men and women, but especially men today, that they'd sober up and stop acting like a bunch of women. Oh, dear God, help us to get busy to work. Get involved in the work of God for the winning of souls. Help us not to waste our time and to waste our money on things that profit not. Dear God, please bless this invitation. Dear Holy Ghost of God, speak to hearts. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. Whatever your need is, you come and do business with God. Christian.